This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode number 2.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast.
On today's show, I'm going to be talking about something people ask me about all the time. And that's press releases. And before I go any further, I ought to mention that if you want to learn how to write press releases or want to brush up your skills, I've got a free 5-day online training program that you can download from my website at janetmurray.co.uk. So after that little infomercial, here's what we're going to cover in today's episode. First off, what is a press release and are they dead? Do people still use them? Secondly, how do you write a press release? Thirdly, when should you use a press release? Fourth, who should you send your press release to? And finally, what happens if you send a press release and you hear nothing? All crickets. So let's dive straight in with what is a press release. Well, first off, the first thing I want to say is that a press release is not a story. So I speak to lots of business owners and entrepreneurs who are looking to start doing some PR for their business. And they come to me and basically they say to me, how much will you charge me to write a press release? And my answer is always, no, I won't do it. And it doesn't matter how much you want to pay me. I've even written a blog post about it. I won't do it. And the reason is this, because there are people out there who will write a press release or will take money from you to write your press release and will send it out to newspapers and magazines. But that really isn't what it's all about. If you want to get great PR coverage, you actually have to have a great story. So while someone like me, I'm an experienced journalist, I've been doing it for 15 years, I could write you a lovely press release, I could write you something that reads absolutely beautifully. But if your story is absolutely rubbish, there's no real nicer way of putting it, but if your story is rubbish, then it's not going to get picked up. And I hear too many horror stories, to be honest, from small business owners who've paid people or pay PR companies to get them to write press releases for them, and then they've heard absolutely nothing. Crickets. So the first thing to say about press release is that a press release isn't a story. So sending a press release out to newspapers or magazines or radio shows or whatever, that won't get you press coverage if your story is no good. So you may well have heard people talking about press release and saying the press release is dead, nobody uses them anymore. And I'm not sure that that's actually strictly true, that they're not relevant anymore and people don't use them. But I think that communicating with journalists in really different ways is, and there's lots of ways to get in touch with journalists these days. So you can still use them, and I'll talk to you more about how you might use them. But the important thing to remember is that it isn't a story. You've got to have a great story. Otherwise, you could have the most beautifully written press release in the world. So basically, what is it? It's a one pager, or I like to encourage people to make them one page. It's an information document. So it's a document that just explains to a journalist in very simple, plain language, if you're doing it right, what the story is. And it gives them key information, contact details, where they might be able to get photos, for example, key websites, that kind of thing. So it just gives them the key factual details that they will need if they want to pursue your story. So it's an information document. It's not a story. So are press releases dead? Well, I don't think you need to use them. And the irony being, of course, I've just told you that I've got a 5-day press release writing course on my website. So you might be thinking, well, why on earth would you offer that? The reason that I offer that is that when I'm talking to small business owners and entrepreneurs, often when they are first starting to do PR, they've heard of a press release. They're not often, and I discussed this in the last episode, they may not be 100% sure what PR actually is. And is PR getting press coverage in magazines and newspapers? Is it social media? Is it publicity? Is it your website? So what I find is that it's a way in with entrepreneurs and small business owners. They've heard of a press release. They kind of get what it is. So for me, it's a way of starting that conversation with them. If I can get them to work with me to write a press release, and I can and gradually start to kind of explain how it works, but it's a sort of stepping stone. So they're still used, but there are so many other ways to communicate with journalists. So particularly they can be helpful if you are trying to get coverage in local newspapers or local radio or in industry publications, because what you'll often find with those kind of publications or programs that they've got very, very small teams, particularly on local newspapers in the UK, often you'd be shocked really how few people put together, you know, really quite a big newspaper every week, because cuts have been made and there aren't the same resources as there were before. So actually, if you've got a really nicely written press release, and another way of putting it actually is that a press release is, essentially can be a news story. If it's really nicely written, then your press release, you may find, gets pretty much lifted up and published in the paper. So being able to write a great press release is a good skill. And that's another reason why I do offer the free course on my website. But it's not a story. And you need to be aware that if you send the same press release to 10, 20 different publications, that's not really good practice, because every publication is different, every editor is different, every radio show is different, and they all might be looking for something slightly different. I would always advise people to exercise a little bit of caution around press releases, because just sending a press release out to 20, 30 journalists is not, unless you've got an almost amazing story, like a front page story, is probably not going to guarantee you press coverage. And I see a lot of small business owners making a mistake with that. So are press releases dead? Sorry, I keep going off on a tangent on this one. No, they're still very much used, as I said, in regional newspapers, magazines, in local radio, I'd say probably they're still used, and also industry titles as well. As I say, if you write a good one, you may well find it pretty much gets reproduced. For nationals, I'd say you need to be much more tailored. So you might choose to use a press release, but you'd need to accompany that with what we call, and I'll explain more about this as we go on, an email pitch. So a short paragraph or two, which outlines your idea and sort of summarizes it along with your press release. The reason I think people often say our press release is dead is because nowadays you can phone journalists, and you've always been able to do that, but you can contact journalists on social media. So you can pitch stories to journalists on Twitter, you can get in touch with them via LinkedIn or Facebook, or whatever it might be. So there are lots of different ways to get in touch. And in a sort of 24/7 news culture, when news is breaking all the time, sometimes some people argue that spending a morning or a couple of hours putting together a press release could be a waste of time. And personally, I agree. I mean, I'd always say if you've got a story idea, and particularly if it's really timely, if it's something that needs to run today or tonight or tomorrow, then don't sweat the small stuff writing a press release. Just pick up the phone and speak to a journalist, or pick up the phone, or just fire off a quick email. Don't let it hold you back from pitching a story, not being able to write a press release, or not having the time to do it. Just get on with it. So yes, press releases still have a place, but what I'd always say is if you've got an idea and if it's timely, don't let not having one hold you back, because it's just as easy to fire off a quick email, and sometimes journalists will appreciate that more. So secondly, how do you write a press release? Well, structurally, as I say, if you want to know about the structure of how to put one together and what to put in and leave out, that kind of thing, it's probably best if you download the 5-day press release writing course from my website, which is janetmurray.co.uk. And the specific URL is janetmurray.co.uk/press-releases. You can get straight to it there. But some general pointers on writing press releases. So the first sentence of your press release, it should be a summary of your story that allows a journalist to decide very quickly whether they're interested in doing more with your story. So you probably learned at school about your who, what, where, why, and when. I'm sure your English teacher probably taught you that if you're looking to communicate clearly, that can be a good thing to do. So the standard practice is in the first line of your press release, you try and answer the who, what, where, why, and when, if you possibly can. You can't always do all of them, but that will help a journalist. They need to decide very quickly. Journalists get hundreds of press releases every day, so they need to be able to decide very, very quickly whether or not they're going to go with your story. So I often say to people, even if the rest of your press release is rubbish, if that first sentence is really clear and you've got your 5 W's in there, then you stand a much better chance. Your headline is really, really important as well. People often try to be clever in press release headlines. So they'll say things like, I don't know, if it was a new cereal or something, they'd like say crunch time for new cereal company. Well, that might be clever and you might congratulate yourself for writing a brilliant pun, but if the journalist doesn't know, you know, you just kind of put crunch time in your header and they don't know what it is you're actually referring to, that can actually work against you. So I would say just be as clear and simple as possible. If your press release is about a new perfume for 7-year-olds, then that's exactly what you need to say in your press release header. And that's exactly what you need to put in the subject line of the email that goes with it. So I'll just repeat that again, because that's really, really important. So let's say, for example, you had a new perfume that was aimed at seven years and under, something like that. God forbid. But if you did, that should be what your headline is. So new perfume for 7 years and under. And that should be in the subject header of your email as well. You might be tempted to say fragrant new offering for 7-year-olds. A journalist is going to have no idea. Are you talking about flowers? Are you talking about perfume? Are you talking about some kind of horrible smell? Are you talking about nappies? You know, so the more clear that you can be, the better that's going to be in your press release. It's important to include quotes, and a big mistake, and I would say maybe about five paragraphs is probably about right for the length. See if you can get it on one side, that's always better. I would say quotes from two people if you can, because if you're pitching to a regional newspaper or you're pitching to an industry title, they may well just lift your quotes and put them in the piece, which is great. But the key mistake that people make with quotes is they're just boring and they use quotes to repeat fact. So let's say that we're going to do that story about the perfume for seven-year-olds, for example. The sort of standard quote, the sort of wrong way to do it would be to have, we are delighted to launch our brand new fragrance for seven-year-olds. We will be stocking it in 250,000 shops. That's wrong. That is the wrong way to do it. The right way to do it is to possibly get a child to talk about what they liked about it, to give some kind of opinion or insight into it. You know, to have somebody say something like, you know, people might think that perfume for seven-year-olds, you know, isn't necessarily, but talking to kids, you know, they think it's really important that they smell nice. So it's important that there's some personality and some character in there. Quotes mustn't be used just to quote facts and things that could be in the rest of your press release. Most press releases also have, at the end of them, they have notes to editors, which is a little section where you can just put things like web addresses, phone numbers, where they might get photos, that kind of thing. And if you're stuck for how to write a press release, there's two things I'll tell you to do. One is to download my free course on it and do that. You get a lesson in your inbox every day. But secondly, is to just go online and have a look at some examples of press releases. I mean, one thing I would be quite cautious about is obviously some organisations are better at writing than others. I think charities are often really good because they're often really good at their PR charity. So look at a big charity and look at their press releases and just kind of, you know, ape it, for, you know, just copy the style and the structure. But also news stories, and essentially a press release is a news story. So just go on a big news site like the BBC site or the New York Times or whatever your main paper has to be, because their journalists will have been taught to write, you know, in this kind of really tight factual style, which is perfect. And essentially, like I say, that is exactly what a press release is. It is just essentially a news story. So when should you use a press release? We've already kind of covered this off right at the beginning. But obviously, if you've got something new to say, something new going on, it might be a new event, it could be a new exhibition, it could be a new product line, but we'll talk more in upcoming episodes about how you get an interesting story out there. Because as I said at the beginning, if your story isn't interesting, if your new product is boring, if your event is boring, then a journalist is not going to be interested in covering it. So it needs to be when you've got something new happening or something new that you want to say. So that generally would be when you've got something new launching your business or something like that. So when you're pitching to regionals or when you're pitching to industry titles, I'd say yes, probably use a press release, but maybe add a couple of paragraphs. We call it an email pitch, which just summarizes your idea at the top of it. I would always say paste your press release into the body of an email. Lots of journalists, they get hundreds of press releases every day and they have to wade through so many of them. And if your attachment is a bit sticky to open or you've attached loads of images, that's another thing to think about as well, then they may well pass over yours. So just paste it into the body of an email. There's no reason for them to be opening it. That's just extra seconds that they've got to take over your pitch. And basically you want to make their life as easy as possible because they get so many of these things every day. So if you want to stand out, you need to have a great email subject header, but also make it as easy for them as possible. It's good to send images, particularly if the image is kind of going to sell the story for you, if your story is based around a really strong image. But don't send big attachments or don't send big sort of video files or whatever that are going to block up their inbox or take them ages to go through. So obviously you use a press release when you've got something new to say. I'd say with the national newspapers, I would be a little bit cautious unless you've got something, or national TV programs or radio programs, unless you've got something really different, something that is like front page news. And the reason is this, is that lots of organisations will organise exclusive. Journalists just love exclusives, so they love to be the first person to hear about something. And often, if you have got a great story, you can do a bit of a deal with a publication. You say, look, you can have first bite of the cherry. So we'll let you publish this on a Tuesday. We'll give you exclusive access to people who work in our organisation. We can set something up early on, and then we'll put it out to everybody else the day after. And journalists kind of love that kind of thing. But if you're just sending a press release out to everybody, a journalist may well assume that everybody else is already doing it already. So if they see a press release, they're like, oh, okay, well, we might have done that, but I expect the New York Times are probably doing that, or whatever it might be, the Sydney Morning Herald. And so the more that you can make journalists feel that your pitch is personal to them, that the story is just for them, then the more chance you're going to have of getting it published. So that's why I'd always advise, even if you have a press release as a kind of backup, as an information leaflet, if you like, that you send a personal email pitch. And I would apply the same principles for your email pitch. So subject header needs to be really clear, no clever language, no puns. You need to get your top line, so that's the most important bit of your story, across in the first sentence. So no, unless it's really relevant to the story. So unless you're pitching this perfume story and you so happen to be the son or daughter of a major, very famous perfume maker or something like that, then get straight to the point. So don't spend two paragraphs explaining who you are and how you came about unless it really is relevant to the story, unless you know it is integral to the story. Just get straight in there with your top line and then you can bring in the other stuff later. But just like with the press release, you need to get the attention of the journalist or editor straight away. And if you faff around giving lots of background information and explaining your whole life story, then they'll be gone because they get so many of these things. So for nationals, I'd say, yes, maybe write a press release, but always make sure you've got an email pitch. And for locals, regionals and industry titles, yes, do a press release. But again, I'd still probably say have that little email pitch at the top as well. So moving on to the next section. So who should you send your press release to? Well, this is really, really important. And this is where a lot of people kind of fall flat. If you go on the, say you've decided that you want to get coverage in a particular newspaper or magazine, and you might wander onto their website and you might see a generic email address, which might be editor@guardian.com or something like that, or editor@telegraph.com. And if you send your email to an address like that, and often publications, because they're so overrun, they will direct you to do that. They will say, got an idea for us, send it to this address. Now, it may well be that there is somebody at the other end checking that address, but there's also a good chance that there is nobody, or they give that job to the person on work experience or the intern or whatever. So sometimes it's being checked, sometimes it isn't. So the key thing is that when you're pitching a story or sending a press release, you need to get it to the person who can make a decision about whether to run that story or not. So you need to find out the name. So it's no good finding the name of the editor of a whole newspaper, because what you'll find is that on a newspaper or a magazine or radio program, people have different jobs. You know, the big editor can't do everything. They can't edit every page. So people have jobs where they look after particular sections or maybe even particular pages, or if it's for radio, particular programs, or even particular segments of programs that they look after. There'll be night teams, there'll be day teams, because remember, news is 24/7. So you need to find the name of the person who edits that particular section. Or if it's a general news story, the reporter that can make a decision about whether to cover the story, or maybe need to go and ask their editor whether or not they want the story. But you need to get a name of somebody, and you need to then work out what their email address is. Because these days, most business pitching is done by email. Sometimes, and there will be times when you do need to get on the phone, particularly if a story is timely. But generally, PR is generally done by email these days. So you need to get first name, second name, you need to get that email format and get it to the right person. Otherwise, you can just waste your time completely waiting around for people to get back to you. So there are many ways you can do that. And again, I'm going to cover this in a future episode, but it really is about using common sense, a lot of it, picking up the phone, having a look online. If you can't find the name of the editor of the particular section that you want to pitch to, can you find another email address at that organisation? Can you work it out who the right person is and then kind of work out what the email address is? A lot of it is just common sense, and PR really, a lot of it is common sense. So moving on to what happens if you send a press release and you hear nothing back, you hear crickets. And I have to say, particularly when you're starting out in PR, this can be really, really common. Although I'm often heard saying that PR isn't rocket science, that anybody can do it, and if you've got a great idea, you can get on the phone. It does take a bit of practice, because if you're not used to that industry or sector, if you've never worked in the media, why would you know how it all works? It's going to take you a little bit of time, and you're probably going to have either people saying no to you to start with, or you're going to have people ignoring you. It's going to take you time. Maybe, you know, you might have a great run where maybe you get a series of yeses and you get some great coverage, and then you go through a period where for some reason people aren't getting back to you. So if you're sending out press releases or pitches, there are a number of reasons why this could be happening. I'm very, very, very quickly going to go through some of the main reasons why this might be happening and what you can do about it. So first off, it may well be that the editor is on holiday or they're not around or you've got the wrong address or something like that. But generally, if a journalist is interested in your story, they're in the business, they need to create content so that they're looking for good stories. They're not looking to sort of bat you away. They are actually actively looking for good stuff. So if you haven't heard back quite quickly, there's a good chance that your story isn't of interest. Now, it may well not be that your story is rubbish. It may well be the journal, you know, they've covered something similar recently or there's something else coming up soon or whatever. But often, again, actually, if your ideas are quite sensible, you'll probably find that journalists may come back to you and say, this is a really nice idea, but we're just doing something similar, or we can't do it because we did something like this last week, whatever, but do send us some more ideas. You will find if you get a great idea, you get it spot on, it's perfect for a journalist audience, you will probably get a reply pretty damn quick. But if you're not getting anything at all, the bottom line is, I think the truth probably is that there's something wrong with your idea. And these are the things you need to think about. So first off, and we'll cover more of this in future episodes, but if you want more on this at the moment, go to my website at janetmurray.co.uk. I've got tons of stuff about what makes a great story idea, so just have a look at that. But it's probably that your story idea isn't quite right and it isn't quite suitable for the audience. And the thing is, as I said at the beginning, you can take the same story idea around to different publications, and the trouble is that they're all different. They've all got different audiences, their editors are different, they're all going to want different things. So it could just be that your idea isn't right for that publication or that program, and there's a good chance that it probably is that. It could be something simple that you could fix, like you've been using puns or clever language in your email subject header or in your headline of your press release. So your story is actually quite interesting, but maybe the journalist has just missed it because they're busy and your headline isn't very grabby or isn't very interesting. And it could be, and this is a very common thing actually in people who are quite new to PR, that you've buried your story. So you have actually got quite a good story, but you've buried it right at the bottom of your press release. So a busy journalist, they basically just want to look at the top. We talk about top lines in journalism all the time. What's the top line? What's the top line? So if your top line doesn't immediately jump out at them, then they're just going to move on to the next idea because they're getting hundreds of them every day. So just to recap, really, if you're not getting replies, it's probably because your idea isn't quite right, but it could be because maybe your pitch isn't quite right. You haven't labelled it upright. It could be something like that. But it's probably to do with your idea not being quite right. And as I say, in future episodes, I will cover a little bit more about how to come up with great ideas. But if you want some input on that in the meantime, then do go over to my website, which is janetmurray.co.uk. There's loads of stuff, loads of free content on there, which will help you with how to come up with great story ideas. So just to recap, we looked at what a press release is. So it's really an information document for journalists. And crucially, it's not a story. So just paying somebody or paying a PR company to write your press release and sending it out to loads of people, bad move, waste of money, don't do it. Okay, our press release is dead. They're not dead, but they're kind of like wriggling around with not much energy about them. They're still being used, particularly in regional publications and programs and in industry titles, but you do not need to write a press release. If you've got a great story, pick up the phone, fire off an email, don't let that hold you back. A journalist, if they're interested in your story, they won't care whether you've got a press release or not. They might ask you for it, but if not, they'll just have to interview you. They'll have to ask you some more questions. That's absolutely fine. How do you write a press release? Well, I mentioned that I've got a free download on my website at janetmurray.co.uk/press-releases. It's a 5-day course and it gives you a daily lesson which just takes you through a really nice, gentle pace how to put together a press release. But also just look online. It's loads of examples online. Look at charities. They're particularly good at writing press releases, I often find. And just look at news stories as well. Go to a big news site and have a look at how they do it. Because essentially that's what a press release really is. It's an information document, but essentially it's a news story. Then when should you use a press release? Well, obviously when you've got something new to say and something interesting or unusual. We'll talk more about that in future episodes. Who should you send your press release to? So remember, you need to find the name of the person who can actually make a decision about whether or not to go with your story. Otherwise, you could be completely wasting your time. And finally, if you hear nothing back, there's probably something not quite right with your story. It could be with your pitch, but journalists do generally get back quite quickly. Or maybe you've got the wrong person. That could be another reason. But journalists do tend to get back quite quickly, alarmingly quickly. And they want to get back to you. You know, they want contacts. They might want photos. They will want things to move quickly. So that's another thing to bear in mind. So hopefully I've given you a bit of an overview into what press releases are and how you can use them in your business. But if you want more, do go over to my website at janetmurray.co.uk and there's loads more resources there. So thank you so much for listening to the Soulful PR podcast. If you enjoyed the show, do head over to the show notes at janetmurray.co.uk/episode2. You can also pick up the free press release writing course that I mentioned, and that will help you really get started with your PR. And that's at janetmurray.co.uk/press-releases. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/press-releases.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.